Billy turned up to the podcast naked. He's in the dang sweat lodge out there in Oklahoma.
Come on, brother. Panhandle's cooking.
Golly, man.
I'm Billy.
I'm still hot from that run, bro. Hold on, let me get the crossbar on.
Dang. Billy showed up naked on the podcast, and he is glistening.
I'm not putting
absolutely glistening.
I don't have to put clothes on. It's Tuesday.
Hey, man. Listen, I know what y'all thinking. Y'all saying, hey, this is a Christian podcast. What in the world? You talking about naked? No, it's a metaphorical naked. He's not really naked.
Adam and Eve was naked.
Yep. There you go. Sorry for tuning the camera or tuning on the mic. I just made some good food. I'm smacking down on it. So, but I guess it's that time to do the intro. So, coming to you from East Texas is your host, Boudreaux.
What just happened? Who?
Longview, man. Next up on the podcast, Longview, man. We have Tulsa Man from the hills of Oklahoma.
What's up, y'all?
That's what.
What happened to Asher?
Tell him your name.
I'm Chili Willie.
I'm just Chili Willie up there. And then from
Ballhead Billy.
Yeah, BHB. And from the flatlands of Florida, we have
Doggone, dude, you gonna say something or what?
Ash, you're supposed to introduce yourself, dude.
But I thought you were about to introduce me as, I don't know, Arkansas or something. No, I was prepared.
Dude, you're from Florida, dude. You're living in Florida right now.
Well, that's true.
The beach runner.
What's going on? Well, yeah, right, beach runner. What's going on, y'all? Happy to be back on the pod.
If everything's sketchy, there's like little flakes and audio's going in and out. What's happening right now?
I think it's just you, man.
It ain't me. I'm watching y'all lag out. I missed seconds of what you were saying.
Here comes my lawnmowing man out the window. Hopefully y'all can't hear him. Okay.
We can definitely hear him.
Okay. This guy is mowing outside my window right now.
There that's go. Okay.
Anyways, all right. What a bustle of an intro. Anyways, welcome to the Christian Trail Bros podcast, where we talk about trail running, Jesus, and life. Glad to have y'all on. We've had a busy past 2 weeks. I know Billy and awful. I have. I don't know about
awful
after.
2 weeks.
I've been pretty busy, but y'all Billy, been extra busy.
Billy got beat in a race a couple
Stop
days
it.
Ago.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that. That's the last thing now. I got fairly beat.
Yeah, I'm fairly beat. But anyways, I guess we could do a little recap. So let's start off immediately from the last podcast. Billy put on Embrace Directed his first race called the Arbuckle 100, and it was deemed one of the hardest races out of Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Texas by Woo! a very profound ultra runner that came and ran it. So, Billy, let's talk about the Arbuckle 100 real quick and your experience as a race director of your first race.
Wow. All right, so Crossbar Ranch is like, it's pretty much, if I'm ever going to go out of state or if I'm ever going to do like, I have to run like where there's a lot of elevation, I can go about an hour out of town and I can go to Crossbar Ranch to get my training in. Now, being at Crossbar Ranch, I have got lost probably 20 times. Cried at least 5 times and just thought I was going to die once. It was like 10 degrees. I had no water, no light, no phone, no nothing. And I was out there doing loops in this little rocky area, and I couldn't get out of the loop. Like 2 a.m, 3 a.m, I'm like, I guess I'm just going to be on this loop until I die. This is it. Training in the Arbuckles. This is how I die. But it all started like 4 years ago. I did a ruck there, a 22-mile ruck, and I got terribly lost. I got beat up. I was so tired. I ran 35 miles on a 22-mile loop. I don't know how that even happens, but I was dedicated. I said, you know what? I want to make sure that this – I want everyone to experience this pain. Everyone comes to come join me in this suffer fest. And the Arbuckle was born. Thanks to Briston lots and lots of other people that helped me when I was crying about trying to figure this thing out.
Freaking Billy.
It came together. There was a lot of things that went wrong, but it'll be all right.
Billy had a village behind him. I showed up. There was like six people that were about to be there for 30 hours straight. And
wow. I was
like, dang, peeps. You know, he had somebody come out, bring out a side-by-side. He had some girls stay all day and help out. And then we had his dad come out, Bo's dad.
Paul! People!
Paul! And he stayed up all night. But we got a lot to unpack there, because that was one heck of a week. So I load up Thursday, the trailer, with all the stuff, and I head over to Billy. Billy's out course marking. So I pull up, and I'm sitting there talking with Billy. I was like thinking, oh, you know, we got plenty of time. Little did I know, only about 5 miles of the course was marked, 5 out of the 20-something miles. And we're 2 days before the race. Really a day and a half.
Hold on. Let me get in there real quick.
Get in there.
The course has been marked about 5 times with 5 different flags. I've been out there every weekend. But there's a lot of traffic out there. There's a bunch of ATV riders and rock crawlers and all kinds of people out there getting trashed and driving around and pulling things out of trees and knocking over signs. So, yeah, we had to redo the whole course 2 days before.
Yeah. And so Billy stayed out Thursday night till like 3 a.m. course marking. And then he stayed out the night before the race till like 3 or 4 a.m. course marking, upon a bunch of other things. And he came to the start line at 5 a.m. So he got like 2 hours of sleep. And then he stayed up for 30 hours straight after that. And then went home. And then probably didn't get much sleep there either because of all the hectic that happened after. So, yeah, it was a grind. That's one where I could describe it for you, bro. It was a grind.
And then, like, what, 3 days later, it was time for your race?
Yeah, literally, like, 3 days later, Billy came and ran the 50-mile West Texas Ultra. But, I would say, Billy, your race was pretty successful. Now, I think one of the funny things I want to talk about was on Friday, me and Michael, we went out on the course to run the 10K loop.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go.
And I literally freaked out. I got 2-3 miles in, and the course was accidentally marked wrong. Like, you had so much going on, you just accidentally marked it wrong. And I was thinking, crap, if the rest of this course is marked like this is going to be a poop show, you know? So I fixed what I could out there, and I ran back, and I tried to tell Billy about it, but he was course marking till 3 a.m., so he wasn't really thinking about that probably. And that freaked me out because I didn't want people thinking Texas Outlaw races were marked like that. And if the rest of the course is jacked up, I didn't want it to look bad on us. So I remember I called Asher the night before the race. I was like, Asher, what do I do? And Asher's like, cancel the race. And I'm like, we're not canceling the race. Brother, what the junk? Oh, we ain't canceling this.
Man, that's not how it came across at
yes,
all.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No
oh,
shot.
Yeah, little flame.
No shot.
Yeah, little flame.
No shot. That is not what I said at all. What I said no was, shot. Well, I was like, you got two things on your hand. I mean.
Dang, Asher. Yeah, can't defend himself because he's cutting out. Internet's cutting out.
Boom.
You know, it looks bad on the company and all that.
Oh, there he is.
And so I was just looking out for the people, man. I was looking out for the people.
Anyways.
Hopefully y'all heard that. Briston's frozen kinda. On my end. I don't know what's going on.
I'm alive. Anyways. Billy, you there?
Oh, I'm
yeah,
here.
You're there. Okay. Anyways, Billy, so I wake up the morning of the race and I was like,
hello.
Asher, we're here. Just because you can't hear us doesn't mean it's not recording. Man, what a podcast.
What a podcast.
Anyways, I wake up race morning and I'm like, Billy, I didn't know where you were. I texted you when I woke up. I was like, you get the cart or did you get the course marked? Nothing. I thought because you were joking about leaving and like getting in your car and leaving, so I thought that might have been what you did.
I was about to about 40 times.
But I show up to the race and it's 5 a.m. I'm getting everything ready for packet pickup. And I asked Michael, I'm like, and Michael's like drunk. And I pull up and all my lights and stuff are plugged in. He's like, yeah, I plugged it in for you, bro. And I look over. And by the way, as a Christian, I do not condone being drunk. I just want to put that out there for the listeners. But anyways, I get out there and Michael's like, yeah, Billy's in his cabin asleep. I'm like, asleep? This race about to start soon. He's like, I'll go get him. So he goes and gets you. And you come out smoking something. And when you come out, you just look exhausted, bro. Like, I feel bad for you. So, anyways, Billy comes out.
Smoking a something? Come on, brother. You're going to make it sound like I'm hitting trees.
No, he's smoking a cigarette or something. I don't know. But he comes out worried about his speech. And I was like, you'll be all right, man. And so anyways, we end up sending everybody off. And Billy did get on the speeches. He overcame his fear. And
I said, look, hold on. I said a few words and I got scared. My undercarriage puckered up and I was so nervous. I handed the mic to you, bro. I was like, ah. That's the whole thing I was worried about the whole time. Because I know I marked the 20-mile loop good. There was one sign messed up on the 10K. Some people were stupid. Some people were cool. It was all right. But yeah. When it came down to it, I was scared to death to talk in front of people.
I couldn't believe that was the one thing. Yeah. I was like, I'd be more worried about course markings or something. Billy was shaking in his boots when it came to the public speaking, but I think you did good, man. Honestly, I think you did a good job, especially in the 100-mile one, the first one, the 100-mile 100K. I think you did good. I think it's because you're more comfortable with, you know, people that are doing that kind of stuff, you know. But
so real quick, where did I get cut out in my defense of myself?
Oh, we're already past that, Asher. We've been way past that. It's okay.
Undefended.
Anyway,
I was honestly like, Briston, I mean, you got to make the call. And I guess he heard it as, oh, he wants me to cancel the race.
Yeah, that's what you had told me. You were like, well, the course markings are wrong, cancel it. And I was like, I ain't doing that. Yeah, I was hoping, Asher, I was hoping you'd say something like, it's all right, man. I'm sure the rest of it's good. You know, just. If it's not, just send an email out later and just be like, hey, we were just sponsoring this race. You know,
yeah. Something. Well, the way you presented it to me was like, it's dire. Like, Man, Billy, he messed up here, man.
Look, y'all better respect.
I don't know the other 15 miles of this course, man. I was like,
y'all better respect your elders. That's all I say, youngins. Because I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
No.
I had faith. I mean, it happens, man. So,
hey, it all worked out.
It all worked
out. But I do want to talk about something funny at the beginning of the race. So, we sent all the runners out, and like the whole time before, this Michael guy, okay, Michael Tadlock. This whole time before, it was funny because when I first came, I was like, "Hey, Michael, I need these two igloos filled up." He said, "Okay, I'll go do it for you, man." So he drives out, and like 30 minutes later, he comes back. He said, "Hey, man, I can't find the aid station." And then and there's one road to it, by the way. And then 30 minutes goes by, and I don't hear anything from him. And I look over in his hammock, and he's asleep. And then I'm like, I need the igloos. So I get him out of the back of his car, and they're empty. So I sent him out to go fill the igloos up, and he came back, and he never filled them up. So anyways, and then before the race, I was like, "Michael, you remember that intersection that was super confusing yesterday?" He was like, "Yeah." I was like, "I need you up there before the 10K starts to direct people." And he's like, "Okay, I got it, bro. No problem." I tell this dude like 5 times in the morning. And I told him the day before. So anyways, the 10K starts. Billy leads him out. Billy comes back. I say, "Hey, Billy, is Michael up there?" He's like, "No." He's like, "Crap, bro." So I run up to the top of the dang hill, and I'm up there. And then while this is happening, one of our aid stations is getting hit so hard by wind, it's about to blow away. And so Billy's like calling me like, "Hey, this aid station's about to blow away." So I'm like, "Hey, let's just use my trailer as an aid station." But I was like, I can't leave where I'm at because people need to know where to go. So I told him, I was like, "Get somebody up here and I'm going to go get the trailer."
They would have been better off with nobody up there.
Yes. In the end of it. Yes, you're right. So guess who comes up to meet me? Michael.
MT.
So Michael comes up and he relieves me so I can go get the trailer for the aid station. So Michael goes up there and I say, "Hey man, listen, 10K runners, they're going to go through here for the first 2 miles. When they finish, they're going to go this way." And I explain it extremely clear to him. And he's like, I got it, man. And as I'm walking off, I hear him yelling, "Run, you're on downhill, run," on a downhill that is super technical that he was walking down the day before. So I'm like, "All right, we got a crazy drunk man up here directing people, yelling at people, but okay." So I walk on down, hop in the trailer, drop that off. I come back, and then I'm hanging out with Billy for a while, and people finishing the 10K start coming through, and they're like, "Hey, man, we all about 10 people got sent in the wrong direction." And I was like, "What the heck?" And Billy's like talking to him, and I'm like, "I'm going to go figure this out." So I drive up to the top of the mountain on my bike. Well, I try to. It's too rocky. I end up hiking up it. And Michael's up there, and he says, "Don't even start, man. Don't even start." And I'm like, "Michael." I was like, "I told you which way to point them." And he said, "Well, your race director came up here and gave me a coffee and told me that they need to go this way." And anyways, I asked him, I say, "How many people went that way, went the wrong way?" And he said, "About 10. I said, "Okay." So I hop in my truck, and I go looking for these people. And I find a few of them, and I guess everybody else kind of figured it out and turned back around. And I direct them the right way. So we only had, I think, about 4 or 5 people really, really get misdirected and run a bunch of extra miles. Everybody else figured it out and turned back around. So that was a 10K. That was the morning. That was pretty hectic. After that, though, I would say it ran pretty smooth until evening.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Michael turned out to be an all-star. Even though he had some issues, he stayed 30, 40 hours. I mean, he was through the entire duration. I mean, it was 4 and 3 in the morning the second day or the day and a half in, and he's out there cooking burgers in the rain, pouring down rain by himself.
I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, Michael, so, he was a trooper. He pulled up Friday and said he was going to be out there till Sunday.
And he stayed till Sunday. A couple of them like that. Yeah, that some major love out there.
Yeah.
So we had one finisher for the 100 mile.
Yeah.
How many guys started?
About
12.
12.
12 were signed up for the 100 mile, and then 14 for the 100K. Yeah, I think 7 finished the 100K or 6, and 1 finished the 100 mile. Trevor Metting. What was so cool is the company, you know, the people that we, the ranch that we used for the race, the owner of the ranch came and was like, he almost had a tear in his eye when he saw that 100-mile dude come through. He came through at 29 hours and I think 13 minutes. And he's like, here, take all this money back. We don't want it. He's like, give half of it to that guy who ran 100 miles.
Wow, yep. For renting the ranch or what?
Yep.
Wow, that's incredible.
They described it, the people that were working at the ranch, they said this is the first guy to ever run 100 miles at Crossbar. So, like, that was a pretty big moment for them. Like, that's a cool thing for someone to run 100 miles on their ranch, you know?
Yeah.
The hands out there, the people out there, I mean, they were going harder than the volunteers. The hands out there put more at Crossbar, put more work in than I did.
Really? They're just like all in on it?
All in. They course marked with me all through the night. Yep. We went through 3 different vehicles, flipped them on their sides and smashed them to pieces.
I saw that one picture on your Strava, maybe that Jeep that was like way dug up into the ditch, like on its side. Midnight.
Yeah, that was like late night. Just this guy's got a Mountain Dew in his hand, a cigarette in his hand. He's like FaceTiming his wife and driving down an incline like this. He's like, oh, brother, just put the winch on that tree over there. I'm like, bro, what is happening right now? Yeah. He's like, it was such a good experience, though. Boy, I was worn out. There's a lot of weird emotions. But I think the real story is about what happened at this race 2 days ago.
Billy, we're missing so much good stuff that still happened.
Give me the meat in the race.
Like we can talk about the 50 mile you ran, but dude, there's a couple more things in this Arbuckle 100 I want to talk about that we haven't talked about yet. Now I think you might be scared to talk about them. I think either that
I ain't scared to talk about. Somebody got lost. All right, there's a guy who got lost, and I don't know what it. I don't know what his deal was. So we got him marked down. Okay, look, we got him marked down for lap 2. So it's a 100-mile run. It's 5 laps, 20-mile loops. We got him marked down. He's on lap 2. Well, 34 hours later,
what?
We find out that he's still working on lap 2 or lap 3. Me and Briston leave about 32 hours in. We head home.
It was 22.
Get a call. What? As soon as we left? What, 30 minutes after we left?
It was 22 hours that he was out there on lap 2. And I want to talk about this real quick because this was something. So, Billy, I go home and I'm working on homework that night, the night of the race, whenever there's like 5 people left out there or however many. And when I wake up, Billy texts me and he's like, hey, he basically texts me like, hey, there's these 2 people that we haven't seen them in a while. So I reach out to these people at 7 in the morning. I text them and say, hey, are you still at the race or no? If you don't respond soon, we're going to send out search and rescue. So anyways, as we're packing up, it's like 1 o'clock. And as we're packing up, I get a text saying, oh, I'm good. And I thought it was the guy. I thought it was both the guys that had told me that, but it was just one of them. So as I'm leaving, we stop at Taco Bell. And when I was there, I looked at my text closer, and I was like, oh, the other guy didn't text me yet. I was like, I hope he's not still out there. I don't think he is. So I call him up and stuff, nothing. And I'm like, I texted him at 7 this morning, and now it's 1. Like, surely I would have heard something. So I go on this internet search. I'm not going to tell you the name of the website, but there's this website to where you can type in people's name, and it tells you their address, phone numbers, and who they're related to. So I find out this guy, I find this guy's mom, and I put her name in there, and I find her phone number. So I call up his mom, and I'm like, hey, you know, have you heard from your son after the race? We haven't heard anything from him, because he didn't list his emergency contact number as his mom. He listed it as himself. So she's like, no, I haven't heard from him. And she was like, what is it? And I was like, it's an old 100-mile ultra marathon. She's like, oh, yeah, he does those. I was like, okay. And I was like, well, we haven't heard from him, so I'll keep you updated. She's like, okay. She sounded worried. She really did. She was like 60. Her age showed 60 years old on the website that I used. So anyways, I contact the ranch hand, and I tell him about it. And he's like, yeah, if we don't see anybody by this evening, we'll take it a little bit more serious. So I think to myself, well, we had all those people park, and if we knew what kind of car he drove, we would know if he's still out there. So I call his mom back, and I say, hey, what kind of car was he driving? And she tells me it's this blue whatever. So I call the ranch hand back, and I'm like, hey, man, he drives a blue car, this blue whatever the model is. So he's like, okay, I'll go down there and check it out here in a minute. So he goes down there, and he calls me back, and he's like, the car is still here. And my heart sinks. Because I was like, this guy hasn't been seen since 3 o'clock yesterday, and it's 2 o'clock today. So, like, 23 hours. And I'm like, this is not good. We had a storm the night before. I was like, did this guy get struck by lightning? Did he fall off in a ditch? Like, this dude's gone. So, they find his car. He sends me pictures of the inside of his car. The dude left his phone in his car. And at this point, I'm contacting every person that was running within the time range that the last time we saw the guy was. So I was contacting all the 100-mile runners, all the 100K, trying to see if they ran a guy named whatever his name was. I forgot his name. But I was wondering, you know, hey, have you seen this guy since 3? Because if we could pinpoint where he was after 3 o'clock, that might help us find him easier. At this time, the ranch hand is calling the local police department. They're getting drones out there. They're sending out 10 side-by-sides about to go look for him. You know, this is a full-on thing. I call his mom, tell him. She's, like, freaking out. And the ranch hand calls me back about 30, 45 minutes after we sounded the alarm. He's like, hey, man, we found the guy, and he's okay. He was like, he said he's going to finish the 100-mile, and he said he's going to finish it. And so I was like, okay. So, you know, I tell Billy a bunch of this stuff while it's happening, keeping him updated on it. And anyways, we get a call later, and probably like an hour or so later. And this guy, he tried running outside the gates of the ranch. And when the ranchman asked him where he was going, he said he didn't know. And so they said that he wasn't stable enough to drive, so they put him in a cabin. And the dude, I guess, was just mentally gone. And so for basically 23 hours, he was just aimlessly running around out on the ranch.
And yeah, I called him, and he said, you know, when he got back, he's like, oh, man, it was a great race. I just wanted to finish, bro. And I was like, what? I was just so confused, like, you trying to keep going? Like, great race. Sounds like a terrible race. But I will.
That's crazy.
Yep. That was
but I get it. Story. I've been there out there where I was like, I mean, I didn't get lost for 22 hours, but I was out there for maybe 5 or 6. And I was like, man, I don't know where I'm at. Especially out at nighttime. There's probably each split off has 5 different ways you can go. And that you'll do that about 100 times. So course marking is a nightmare. But it's worth it. It's worth it. You got to risk it for the biscuit, baby.
But hey, after it's all said and done, though, I would say 95% of people had nothing but good things to say. There's one guy. I want to talk about this real quick. There's one guy. He signed up for a bigger distance, and he only ran like half of it. And he asked Billy, he said, "Hey, Billy, can I still get a finisher medal?" Billy said, "No." And he's like, "Oh, okay." And next thing you know, 3 minutes later, this guy's flying like 60 miles an hour down this super bumpy gravel road through like this water crossing that you can barely go 5 miles an hour over because it's so rocky. And he basically like guns it, going like 50 miles an hour, and flies out of there. And I was like, "What the heck?" I was like, "What is going on,
brother from Kansas?"
Was he just upset that you wouldn't give him a medal?
I guess. I don't know. He just. I mean, DNFs are hard. DNFs are super hard. I take them very seriously. I cry about it. I won't say anything to anybody else, but for like 6 months, I'll be like, You suck. You're no good.
Yeah.
But he must have took it to another level. I don't know. But yeah, that was the only one. He was a little upset. But yeah, there was a lot of good feedback. I got a lot of emails that said, like, just give yourself grace. It was a good race, man. Like, that was we all had fun. You know, like, we'll be back next year. I got a lot of people said that. So I was thankful. Because I have issues with self-esteem, self-worth, all these crazy little things. But, yeah. Because I sent out an email, like, 2 days ago, and I got maybe 5 or 6 people that emailed me back. They're like, "I don't think you could have done anything better, man. It's great."
That's good.
Yep.
And I was like, well, except for that 10K.
Yeah.
You ain't never gonna let me live that down. I promise you, I'm gonna be sitting there. It'll be in my coffin. You and Ash are gonna be sitting there, passed away. Everybody's saying the pastor's up there doing my funeral or whatever. Brist is gonna be like, "Remember that 10K? Billy Mark." I can see it now. I'm like, man, he's such a good dude. But remember that that 10K, brother?
Dude, I was just so worried because that was your biggest distance. Like, it had the most people. And I wanted it to be good as well because I also kind of struggle. Well, it's not kind of. I do struggle a lot with rejection and it's kind of like you, Billy, like self-esteem stuff. I do struggle with that too and like people-pleasing. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so that was equally – I felt the same about it as you did, but
I think hardest thing about a race is you're telling me, he's like, "Well, you kind of got to tell some people what to do, you know," like, and I'm like, but I'm a people pleaser guy, so I'm like, "You guys doing okay? Like, is everything all right?" I'm like, "No, it's not time to do that. It's time to be like, hey, you know, I need you to go over there and do this." I'm like, "Ooh, I'm scared."
Yeah, I think you're better about it than me. I'm like, I walk up to people, I'm like, "Hey, I need you here." And you're like, "Hey, what's up, man? How's the kids doing?" Yeah. And then and 30 minutes later, you're like, "Hey, man, you think you could go over there?" So.
Like, ease it in.
Yeah.
Boy, this cooler looks empty. I wish we had somebody to fill it.
Hey, do you think you can do me a favor and fill this cooler?
Yeah. I think one of the coolest things Billy did as a race director, though, is for the last 100 miler, he was all out of volunteers. So he followed this 100-mile guy from aid station to aid station because there was no other volunteers. So Billy was the volunteer. And he, like, once the guy would hit the first aid station, he'd go to the next one. And then he'd go to the next one because he didn't have any. And so I thought that was really cool that you did that.
The ranch hand. Oh, man. He was there and my landlord. It was like us three till the end. But it was, I think, 2 a.m. He's on his last lap. Or no, it was 3 a.m. I don't know what time it was. It was late. And he had just started his last lap. And he was getting to the first aid station. He says, "I'm going to go get him a fresh hot pizza and deliver it to him on the trail." I was like... dude, it's 3-4 in the morning. I don't know what time. I was like, where are you going to find that hot pizza? And he comes back 20 minutes later. And I think that dude was happy. Trevor looked real happy when we opened up a fresh hot pizza for him.
That's freaking
awesome. He had like five slices on the run. I was like, whoa.
That was cool, dude. Yeah. Yes. You know, that was neat. Yeah, but I think you did a really dang good job for your first race. One, I like it's pretty bold of you to choose 100 milers your first one. But you did really good, man, for a first one, dude. Because if I did what you did for your first one, I would have freaked out, dude.
I was panicking, dude. I was panicking because I wanted to, I also, like, and that's the problem. Sometimes I like to go way too hard with things. Like, for instance, even reading the Bible, I'm like, I'm going to read it all tonight, and I'm going to know everything and be the best Christian ever. And it's like, that's not a thing, buddy. That's just not a thing. And but same with the race. I'm like, I'm going to have the best race in Oklahoma. It's going to be the hardest, and it's going to be the toughest, and everybody's going to love me. And that's not the case either. But
well, that did happen. It did. It was the hardest. So.
Yeah, I think so. I think that one it was.
Yeah. So, I told Billy, I know he's like probably super exhausted about it. We need to talk about it more, but I told Billy, I said, we're doing that race again. Like after hearing like what people said and how hard it was, I was like, yeah, we're doing that again. Like we have to, you know.
Love it.
Like we ain't got any other choice. Like we got to do that again. So.
Sweet. Dang it.
Yep. And Billy, even if you decide, hey, I'm not doing this anymore, me and Asher are gonna do it. We're gonna make it happen.
Oh, I'm doing it. I'm getting it. Crossbar's my people. They know me, I know them. We got a bond.
I think it has so much potential, dude. Like I think it could be one of the biggest races in Oklahoma. So yeah, we're sticking with it. We're gonna keep it going. Yeah. And we're going to help you out and make it big. But anyways, a week later, after not running or sleeping for 4 days, Billy comes out and runs the West Texas Ultra 50-mile race over in West Texas. And he competes against Philip Shibashiani, who was one of the most elite runners. And he is the most elite runner in the Panhandle.
In the Panhandle? Ooh.
He's actually one of the, he actually has like one of the top records in the, I think the United States for the 24-hour time thing. He ran the most miles in 24 hours and he has one of the top, I think 10 or 11 times in the US. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Texas
this
boy.
This guy lives, eat, and breathes trail running.
Let me talk about how I met Philip real quick. Coming to one of your races. I didn't even know him, and I looked him up on Ultra Sign Up and called him or messaged him on Strava or something. And from there, we started like strategizing little, we started geeking out and watching people's stats and seeing what their runs are looking like. And so this run, like we don't race a lot together. I think we've maybe done two races or three races together. And he says to me, we had this plan, a strategy. I'm not going to go too much into detail, but we knew who all the entrants were. And we were like, okay, we're going to do this, this, and this. And then me and you were just going to race side by side for 50 miles. And I had to eat some humble pie. My pride got knocked down a little bit. But
so how'd it go down?
We raced. Okay, so we knocked the other guys out. We ran a fast pace in the beginning, and then
I want you to talk about your strategy that you did. I think it was very funny and strategic.
All right. Well, I hope these guys aren't listening to the podcast. But I mean, it's part of it. It's a mental game just as much as a physical game, and for me, it's a spiritual game. So. Whatever it is, however you go about doing it, you're probably going to need all three. So me and Philip talk beforehand and we said, okay, we're going to go out fast. And he led the pack. He did the speed, the movement. The first 5 miles, we were cruising like stupid fast pace. Like, and so that's making the other guys think that that's the pace we're about to run for the next 50 miles. They're like, okay. And they're like acting like they're all right, like talking and stuff, like trying to, I'm not okay. I'm very tired. And I'm like, Philip, dude, can we stop? I didn't say that, but I knew what he was doing, but I was kind of like, gosh, dude, I'm gassed out already 5 miles into this race. And my idea was to talk him to death. You know, how the kids? How's the wife? When'd you first start running? Dude, you know, where'd you come from? And pretty soon they're like, man, I just want to stop running because this guy won't shut up. And I think one of the runners said that. He said, that's the most I've ever talked on a run before.
Yep.
And so that worked. So it's almost like the guys that were racing with us, they kept that pace. Because we started like falling behind little by little, and they were like, oh, we're getting ahead of them. We're getting ahead of them. So they kept going faster, and we're like, we just stopped. We were like, we walked for like a second. And then we're like, all right, here in about 20 miles, we'll catch up to them, and then just zoom past them. But because they're going to be gassed out by the next lap, and that's exactly what happened. The next lap, they DNF'd, I believe, right?
Yep.
Yep. And then me and Philip just like we planned, me and old Philip just cruising to the end. It was suck fest. It was awful. Suffer fest 2024. Hot. People say it was 85. It was 90. I don't care what they say. It was hot. No tree cover. Elevation was like 7,000 feet. Rocky, nasty, horrible trails. Philip designed this course. He ran my course. I'm running his. All right, whatever. And I got no training in. I'm just, I don't want to be there. I don't even really want to be doing this race. But me and Philip's strategy went perfectly. And I was like, all right. And we leaned on each other throughout the whole race. Like, I'm like, hey, man, you need a Tylenol. And he's like, hey, man, you need a salt pill. And he's like, oh, wait, I'll wait for you, man, at the aid station. No, I'll wait for you at the aid station. And we're like, man. And so we made a pact. We're like, all right, look, we're both going to run through first place. We're going to, you know, just put our hands up. We're going to, boom, we're both going to come in at the same time. I was like, deal. And I had no ill intentions. I liked the plan. I was like, you know what? I'll take the medal and you take the ultra sign up spot. And because I don't really care too much about it. But I was like, mile 48. Man, maybe 48 and a half. What are the odds? A 50-mile race and a mile and a half before the finish line. I cramp up so bad. I'm talking about in my groin, my knee, my pinkies, my earlobes. I don't care. And I was like, boom, strong. I was like, Jesus is Lord. Ah, la, 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 la. I'm all dancing, singing. Like, everyone at the aid station is like, this guy's ready to run another 50. I'm just like, la, 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 la. And then, bam, it all hits me at once. I look at Philip, and he's like, he's kind of trotting with me, and he's like, still cramping. I'm like, yeah. He's like, all right, well, I'm going to head down the road, Bubba. And I'm dude, a freaking mile away from the dang finish line. Oh, I was distraught, dude. Like, oh. But here's the deal. Let's look at it. Let's look at facts. You get what you put into it. Like, Philip trains hard. Philip is dedicated to the sport. He is a coach. He's a great member of a little elite team that he created. He's involved in the sport more than anyone I know. He puts miles in, mile after mile, and is just, man, he's so involved. So he deserves the win regardless. I cramp and hobble that last mile, and he waited for me at the finish line. So I think what? I was 2 minutes behind him probably? 3 minutes?
Yeah. I saw Philip coming in. And so I turn on We Are the Champions on the speaker, and I get on the mic, and I'm like, Philip Sebastiani, coming in for the win of the 50 mile. And there's like 10 other people out there. And I'm playing We Are the Champions, and it hits its course. And all of a sudden, Philip stops. I'm like, Philip, on the mic. I'm like, come on, Philip, come to the finish. And he just stops. And he's like standing there. And then the song ends. And I'm like, Philip, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm waiting on Billy. And I was like, oh, okay. So then I see Billy coming. So I replay the song. And I'm like, all right, we got Philip and Billy coming in. And they come in. And I put Phillip's time in first because he did come to the finish line first. His foot did cross the line first. I was looking at that.
I knew you would, bro. I knew you would.
So I looked at who would come to the finish line first, and it was Phillip. So his foot crossed the line. So I put his number in first, then Billy's. And then I gave Phillip his first place medal. And then about 30 minutes later, I see Billy sitting there with the medal, and I'm like, where'd you get that medal from, dude? And then he told me their plan. So I was like, oh, okay.
But I did give it back. I couldn't go through with it because he, you know, because our plan was to come through together. And if we would have, I would have took the medal. He would have took the first place ranking.
Yeah.
In the ultra sign up. But I said, you know what? But I fell out mile 49. So I had to hobble my way in. Pretty walk jog that last mile. And so that was not part of the plan, and that was on me. So he went hard, man. He went hard, and he showed a lot of love, man, at the end there. And because that's not heard of. You don't hear that ever. I don't hear about that in ultras.
Mm-hmm.
Brother waited for me the last mile. But, man, yeah. When a plan comes together, it was so worth it. That was a beautiful run. And just the family, man, the people, the love, all the kids out there. My girl came and crewed me like a champion. First race she ever crewed. Amazing. And then check this out. This is what blew my mind. So Danny Hendricks said a little prayer before the race, which was amazing. That dude's just got love flowing out of him. Like, just, I feel peace when I'm around him. So he calls me, and we leave Texas that morning and go to his church, Redeemer Church in Pampa, Texas.
Yep.
Man, beautiful sermon. We got started studying right where I was in. I was in Acts chapter 21, and we're talking about something that who would have thought I meet this guy at this ultra run in Texas, and like pretty, I mean, 12 hours later, you know, I already knew him, but like I'm at his church. We're all eating lunch with his family. Like afterwards, it's just so beautiful, man. The connection that we made. And, it's something that I needed to hear. So it's in Acts chapter 21. It's talking about how some of the people in the church don't want Paul, I believe, to leave and go to wherever he's going because he's going to get arrested or beaten for spreading the word. And they don't want him to leave. And they're just trying to look out for him. Now, I'm not doing this word for word, but and the sermon was kind of like, what is the Holy Spirit telling you? Like, okay, I got Brother Briston and Brother Asher telling me that, you know, this would be beneficial for me, or I'm asking them questions, or I'm asking my parents, or I'm asking like my girlfriend, what should I do? What's the Holy Spirit telling you? Cause it's probably going to go against what everyone else is telling you. Cause they love you and they're just trying to look out for you. But the Holy Spirit's going to put you in spots where you're going to be confronted with some darkness. And boy, that's the sermon I needed to hear. And just getting to go from that race, beat down. I'm so tired, bro. I can't even see. I can't even walk. And I just show up at this church in the middle of Texas. Don't even know what I'm doing. Praise the Lord. That was so good. Best weekend ever.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, he had invited us to that church. And we were actually packing up and leaving or we had just like started packing or leaving with the trailer after packing up all morning as the church service was already happening. So we were busy loading up. That would have been like cool though. That would have been cool though, man, to be able to go and hang out with him and you. So
all the ultra runners show up to the church.
Yeah. Yeah, man. But it was a good little race, man. West Texas Ultra.
One thing I'd take away from racing, never stop eating. That's what screwed me. Never stop eating. 4 hours in, I quit eating. And that was it. Ooh. I just stopped because I couldn't, man, I don't know what I was thinking.
Huh? Or what? You couldn't hold anything down or what?
No, I started focusing more on like liquid and electrolytes and stuff. And I completely just forgot about food.
Yeah, I heard one of the aid stations had chili or something.
Oh yeah, they had it popping over there. Yeah, that was popping.
Yeah, the funny thing about the aid station is I've never met those people in my life. Like I've only emailed and texted the lead guy. So I don't even know what it looked like at that aid station. But after the race, I was like, hey man, like runners said so many good things about y'all's aid station. Thank y'all so much. And he was like, oh yeah. He's like, thank you. And he was like, let us know if we can come back next year. I was like, hey man, bring it on. A lot of the Rangers thought it was funny that Billy was smoking a cigarette or whatever he's smoking while at the aid stations.
Oh yeah. That's trademark, baby. That's the black and mild. I usually smoke cigars a lot during training or cigarettes or whatever.
You feel like it opens you up?
I don't know. And someone mentioned this to me. They're like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So if that's what works for you, that's what I did in that 100 mile. I just smoked a cigarette a couple cigarettes during the run, and it just works out for me. Didn't work out this last race, though. Mile 49. I'll never forget that.
Phillip, mile 49. If you're listening,
Phillip, you deserve that win. You're a good man, and I'm very thankful to be able to race with you. But I'm still mad.
Yeah, that was funny. Phillip or Billy came in two laps in because it was a three-lap race, and he came in two laps in, and he was in the lead. And Billy was like, yeah, man. He was like, I could run two more loops, and he had one left. So
I turn into like a jackass sometimes.
Yeah, he came back from that to the finish all hobbling, and and then I thought it was really funny. We had the race IV guy out there giving out IVs, and Billy. You tell the story, Billy. That was funny.
Oh, snap. So Jesse, my girl, she says, hey, they're doing IVs. You don't look too good. And I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. So we get in there. It's got cool air. They got recliners in there. I'm like, oh, okay. Briston went all out. I was like, dang, Briston. Okay. Something like, they said, what do you want? I said, we got this type of EIV, this type. I'm like, oh, just give me the deluxe, whatever you got. I put my thing out. I'm like, okay. They bring the needle down to me. They're like, it's going to be $212.50. I'm like, and I'm out. Take off that needle. I'm out. 200 what? See you later. I was out, bro. Oh, no.
Did you think it was free or something?
I didn't know.
Bro. It's funny to me that as they were sticking it in, they were like, oh, yeah, by the way, it's just $200.
They didn't say anything beforehand. that's like a drug dealer almost. Like, hey, this is what I got for you. Here, it's almost in your hand. And $212. So, yeah, we left.
Now, when you say you left, I still can't picture it in my head. So, like, as he was sticking it in and told you the price, like, what did you do and say exactly?
I'd have to ask Jesse exactly what I said.
Oh, okay.
But I was kind of like, nope. That's not going to happen. I ain't got money for that. I don't remember but I was abrupt. I was loud when I was like, oh, nope. No.
You said there was like three other guys in there getting IVs or something.
Yeah. And they were all like, they're all passed out, like credit card laying on the ground. Brother, so good.
Yeah, that trailer had air conditioning, recliners. It was fancy.
They were so nice until that moment. And I was like, no.
Yeah, that guy, he's a cool guy. He reached out to me and asked if he could come out. I said, yeah, man, go for it. Yeah, cool guy. He plans on coming to all my races, he said. So I was like, all right, bring it on, man. Anyways. Yeah. But, yeah.
So hold up, Big Dog St. Pete man. Asher, yep. Are you coming back home? I hear some things.
Yeah, things are in the works, man. Moving, I'm going to be a Texas man. I've been an Arkansas man. I've been a Virginia man. I've been a Florida man. Now I'm going to be a Texas man. Actually, at one point in my life, I was from Texas.
Well, at least no, you're gonna be a Waco man.
Waco man, that's true. I'm going to be a Waco man. Yeah, man, moving back to – moving to Texas in July. Going to give me a place there. Going to wait to get married, and my lady's going to move in with me, and then make our life in Texas. Start working for Texas Outlaw Running Company. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they
– Texas Outlaw Running!
They put trail races on in the state of Texas. So –
One in Oklahoma.
That's what's going down.
Kinda. So that's cool. So what you're gonna be here when? When did you say you're gonna be here?
July.
July. So we need to pick out a race.
Yeah, dude. For real. I gotta get something on the calendar. I'm thinking you wouldn't be inclined to do this, but I'd like to do another road half marathon. But I mean maybe you would.
Try to get on the road.
Yeah,
because I've never got a PR for my half yet.
Dude, you got to run the half marathon, maybe.
Bro, you ain't gonna get a PR, but
I know I can get way better than that now.
You ain't gonna get a PR in August.
Well, yeah, but we train through the summer and then do something in the fall when it's cool. I posted a recent Strava post. I don't know if y'all saw it, but I said I'm trying to get fall of 2021 fit. And what that meant was I'm trying to get in half marathon shape because that's when I ran my most recent half marathon and PR'd. And Briston can attest. 1:17:30 or so.
What's yours, Billy?
Ooh, I don't know.
Let me tell you mine. Oh, man. I got to find mine again.
But Briston attests to this is that we had a big baller high mileage summer leading into that. So
yeah,
gotta bring it back, baby.
I was the fittest of my life and I did zero speed training.
Briston was the fittest of his life. I was the aerobically fittest of my life.
Yeah.
Both of us PR'd in the 5K like 2 months into the training.
Yep.
It was unbelievable.
My half is a 1:28.
Mine's 1:23:40.
Jeez, y'all are quick.
That's solid.
Yeah, I haven't done a half marathon since 2021 when I was training for Boston.
So you've run the Boston?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Oh,
I ran the COVID Boston.
We all need to reunite at the October. We all need to reunite at the Hotter in Hell again.
Truth.
Ooh.
Hotter in Hell.
I know. Back. I should have waited for y'all.
Dude, yeah. We pulled up last minute. Me and Asher were like running into the pack pickup. Like it was, and we arrived like an hour before, I think, or like 45 minutes before. I was we'll plenty of time.
It was perfect. We could not have timed it any better. Literally right when I finished pumping up my tire and flipping over my bike, the gun went off. I was like, all right, well, let's go.
Oh, that race was so stupid, man. I dropped my water bottle like 15 times. I was making fun of people. I always do this. I'll make fun of people, and it's like instant karma. Like, God's like looking down on me like, get ready, little buddy. I'm just correcting you. I'm gently correcting you with this water bottle. So I was making fun of people because you see all these water bottles on the side of the road because people kept dropping them. And I'm like, stupid people. And then I dropped mine like 100 million times.
That's funny. Do y'all want to do the Chupacabra 200? Do the Hotter Now 100 plus the 100K gravel grinder?
What's a gravel grinder?
It's a gravel bike ride for 60 mile gravel bike ride.
So it's not a gravel bike. It's just 100K plus 100 miles.
No, no. Hey, hold on, real quick. We're getting off topic a little bit. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening to the Christian Trouble Boats podcast. We'll see y'all 2 weeks.
Wait. We got to pray it out, boy.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
Billy?
Oh, here I am. All right.
Go, Billy.
We may not have, touched on too much of the Christian portion of this Christian Trail Bros podcast, but
it was inspired.
We had a lot of events that were pretty interesting. We wanted to touch on them definitely on this podcast. All right, I'm praying it out. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. We're all healthy. We're all good. We all get to come together and love on each other and spread the good news. And thank you, Lord, for this podcast still be up and for the listeners that we have. And hopefully we can reach some people or encourage some people later down the road. Just keep us strong, Lord. Just keep us following you. Help us just reveal to us the things that we haven't repented of and things that we are just overlooking, and just keep us rooted in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good job, Tulsa man. That was a good prayer. By the way, I don't know if you noticed, but I changed everyone's name.
Yeah, you spelled Tulsa wrong.
Oh, I did. It's Tulsa.
Tulsa.
Tulsa man. We got Tulsa man, Lombie man, and Waco man.
I like how Asher's name changed like 5 times.
Yeah, I kept changing it, so.
It was like St. Pete man, Waco man,
Florida man.
All over the dang place.
Oh, yeah. Man. All right, what y'all think of these new hats?
I
love them.
My girl's wearing hers right now.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, man, these dang hats. I ordered them. They're, by the way, for the listeners wondering, it says Trail Runner on them. It has like a puffy, it's like a workout hat. Like you can sweat in this stuff. Ordered some of these, like 2 dozen of them, 24 of them. And we got done with the dang West Texas Ultra, and we only had like 7 left. I was like, man. Went back to the store today. I said, hey, I need some more of these things. So, selling my hotcakes. Get you one. Trail Runner hat. Support Texas Outlaw.
Simple is better.
Well, thanks for tuning in, y'all. We'll see y'all shooting the bull. Or not shooting the bull. This ain't the shooting bull podcast. We'll see y'all on the Christian Trail Bros podcast.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll see y'all on the Christian Trail Bros podcast 2 weeks. Thanks for tuning in. And don't forget, we got a Facebook forum called the Christian Trail Bros Forum where you could submit questions or really just life stuff. And we're probably going to talk about it on the podcast. So check that out. See you.